Let's stand together. Let's really welcome our Pastor Jonathan. We love him, don't we?
It's great to see you this morning. One of the things that I love is the Word of God, and I believe that in the Word of God, it gives instructions for absolutely everything about life and every situation that we can possibly find ourselves in. I believe the Word of God can bring an answer, give you encouragement, help to enable us to overcome in every situation. And, you know, I just felt as I've been praying over the last couple of weeks, I was actually in Bulgaria, and there was a challenge that was put out to a big conference that I was part of. And what was said was, what is the true Church of God look like? If we had the opportunity to attend a true Church of God, what would it look like? I'm not talking about a denomination. I'm not talking about a stream of churches. I'm talking about what is the biblical understanding of what a true church should look like. And it's got me going into the Word of God. I'm not saying that I got a perfect revelation of this. And I think that together, sometimes that we can get the bigger picture that God wants us to have regarding a true church. And, you know, at the beginning of this new season of Kingdom Faith London, I just feel it's important that we actually begin to recognize, actually, what biblically, what are we talking about when we are saying we want to be a church in the city? What does that look like? What does that mean for each and every one of us? And so I just want to go into a few scriptures. I've got a little bit of a PowerPoint for us this morning. But let's just start with John chapter 15. Because I think, you know, again, it's just very good to get into the Word. I am the true vine, verse 1. And my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, you can ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I've learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. Father, I just thank you for your word. I just ask you that your word that is living and active, that divides soul and spirit. Father, I pray that your word today will trigger something in each and every one of our hearts. So that what you have planned and purposed for us individually, and Father, for wherever you have called us to worship you, whatever body you've called us to be part of, Lord, I ask you that we will be people who have stayed true to the word of God and live according to the pattern and the blueprint that you show and reveal through that word. And so, Father, today I just give you this next half an hour. And I ask you that you will use my body, my mouth, to bring about what you are wanting to say this morning about your church and what that true church looks like. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As you can see, John chapter 15, verse 5, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. One of the first examples, and there's three examples that I'm going to give this morning, and then in the weeks to come, there will be other things that I'll bring about regarding what the true church, I believe, looks like. But one of the things that I believe God initially wants us to look at is that we've got to understand that we have been grafted into the vine. And that's where a true church of God begins. And that is the relationship that we have with the Father. That's where every church needs to understand, whatever denomination, whatever church you're from. What we need to understand is that we are and have been grafted in, if we're a believer in Jesus Christ and we've accepted him as our Lord and our Savior, then what he wants is us to be in relationship with him. We're grafted in. We're part of who he is. We understand who we are in Christ. We understand that our identity is Christ in us. We understand that we have been crucified with Christ, that I no longer live, it's Christ who lives in me. Galatians 2:20. It's understanding that the principle of true church starts with relationship. Relationship with the Father. If a true church, and please, I'm generalizing, but I want us to get a hold of this as Kingdom Faith London, because I really believe that our relationship with God is going to be so crucial for everything else that God wants to do as a result of us having that relationship with the Father. It's his life that needs to be flowing through us, just like that tree, that sap, that vine that we're looking at. You go to, myself and Helena, we went to Demi's Vineyard in Dorking recently, and just row upon row upon row, you have vines. It's a vineyard. And so therefore, there was loads of grapes. And it's amazing to see. But if you wanted to produce something, you're still having to be in the vine itself. You cannot be separate from the vine. Every branch that came off that main trunk, because it was part of that main trunk, was going to produce something as a result of remaining in that trunk. And you see, if we're going to be a representative of what I believe true church is, we need to be part of the person of Christ, and therefore the church needs to take on the identity of that person. If we're to be a true church, therefore, our relationship with God is going to be crucial, because we're going to have to get to know the Father so that we know what we are to produce. We need to understand what we're part of. And that part of is not just an organization. That part of is a person. It's a part of a person. It's part of a relationship that God wants each and every member of every single church in London and beyond, because I know we've got some visitors from Rochdale, and I know we've got some visitors from Derbyshire. I don't know where they are, but but they're somewhere. But we've got visitors here. And I just know that what God wants is that we are grafted into a relationship with the Father And that's our number one point as a church in London. Yeah. As a true church, we have to be grafted in. That's why we've been giving people each month a Bible reading plan. It's not that we think that you can't do it on your own, but sometimes we do need a little bit of help to understand how we can get to closer to the Father so that we can actually understand who he is. And therefore, okay, if that's you, that's your relationship, that's your personality, Father, then I've got to adopt that personality, that characteristic in every situation that I'm going in, because I've been grafted into you. So a true church needs to have the identity of Christ. But to have an identity of Christ, you need to understand the person of Christ. And that's why we love you to be in the Word for yourselves. We want you to have the revelation of God for yourselves, because one word from God can bring transformation about everything of your life. That can come through him directly. Obviously, I've never seen writing on the wall. I wish it was that simple. I would love God to often write things on the wall for me. Go and do this, son. But he doesn't do it that way for me. If he does that for you, fantastic. And tell me, please, how you go about doing that. You know, I don't hear the thundering, roaring voices. Sometimes it's just that still small voice, that quietness in my spirit that says, do that, son. Sometimes it's through reading the Word. It's just something I've been thinking of or processing. And then I read something in the Word and it's just exactly what I've been thinking of. But it's getting to know the Father so that you can begin to understand in that relationship what you're grafted into. Because if you don't understand that you've been grafted into him, and understanding that therefore our responsibility is to remain part of him, as we've been reading in John chapter 15, then to become a true church of God is going to be very, very difficult if we don't know what it's to look like. And as I say, there's a number of things that I'm going to be going through, and Helena might do as well. You know, we are wanting to do what God's telling us to do. And that's why sometimes Helena will bring a word that is complementary. And because we're wanting to work together, we want to build as God shows us this church. It's not Helena and I's my church. This is God's church. And that's why I want to understand what the true church of God looks like, so that actually we can take on what that looks like as a group of people. But initially, we have to understand that we're part of a relationship with the Father that is so, so crucial. Next, please. Again, John chapter 15, verse 7 and 8. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you will bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. See, God wants us to be a disciple. How do we show the world that we're his disciples? How do we do that? It's by revealing Christ, taking on his identity, and therefore allowing him to flow through us by his Holy Spirit, that can bring that transformation in every situation and circumstance that we find ourselves. But you see, because we want to be, God wants us to be a disciple of his, not mine, of him, then that relationship needs to be so close. And therefore, we need to understand that day by day, we need to cultivate this relationship. There's times where if I'm away or, you know, from home doing some ministry, or Helena's away. She will be in France in a couple of weeks doing a ladies' conference over in France. And, you know, if we don't talk together for a little while, we need to then come together. Otherwise, we could miss each other from a communication point of view. We obviously know each other quite well because we've been married how many ever years? 26 years? But, you know, we've got to know each other over that period of time. But you still need to be able to communicate because we're always changing. Different things are happening. And if we don't communicate, then we can miss each other. And then we can get to a situation where I misunderstood something Helen has said. And I know I don't get annoyed. But you know, you can get... never. But you can get into a situation where you're missing one another. Because actually, Helena doesn't know what I'm thinking about. And therefore, I'm going off on a road that she doesn't know I'm going off on. And vice versa. And so, therefore, we in the human thing have to communicate. And she, because hers is quality time, her love language is quality time, she loves to communicate. I'm sort of more of a quiet person. And so, therefore, there's sometimes challenges in that. But, you know, we've got to learn those things. But what I'm talking about is that it's relationship that needs to grow and develop with our Father so that actually we don't miss him. We don't miss what he's trying to say or do in any situation that we find ourselves. And that's why it's so important that we remain grafted into him, but also understanding that we're his disciples. And therefore, to show those things and show those characteristics, we need to remain very, very close to who he is. Next, please. John 15, verse 16 and 17. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. That's twice now it says that we can ask whatever and it will be given to us. As long as we remain in the vine. Why? Because God knows that he can trust us if we remain close to him. Because when he says, okay, I want this, he knows that it's in the line with the will of God. I'm longing to see so much more of God in miracles and healings and things like that. That's one of the things that I'm praying for, that God, you will just reveal yourself in so many amazing ways. And, you know, we'll have time afterwards that if anybody is not feeling 100%, then we'll pray for you. Why? Because I believe that when we are grafted into the vine, who he is, then it's the life and the power of God working through you and me that can bring transformation into a life that we're praying for. And that's why I always believe that when we're praying for one another, then there's an impartation. There is something that is going to come from the Father through to you. That may be a word. It may not be instant healing, but it may be. Sometimes Jesus had to pray 2-3 times. Remember the blind man where he saw the figures. But that's fine. God still heals, and the word of God is still true today as it ever has been. And just because we may not have seen healing in our experience doesn't mean that the word of God is not true. And therefore, as a true church of Jesus Christ, we have to understand what the word says so that we can live according to the word and not according to our experiences. One of the biggest dangers in the church, the true church of Jesus Christ, I believe, is our experience. We see church through our own filtered eyes. We see church as we have seen or understood or experienced. Instead of seeing the church of Christ truly as he wants us to see it through the word of God, not my own understanding of the word of God, but what he says in the book. You see, here it talks about bearing fruit. Fruit that will last. See, when we're part of the vine, God wants each and every part of that branch to be fruitful. He wants every one of you to be fruit-producing people. Now, of course, we're not asking you to go and produce an apple or a pear. We're talking about people, lives. As mothers and fathers here, to produce children that go on to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of their heart. That's what we pray for our daughters. That's what we pray for Terza. Hannah's little one. Why? Because that's part of our responsibility to produce the fruitfulness of what God's put into us, so that that then is then pushed through to the next generation of people. That's our responsibility. But it's to produce fruit. Next, please. Not only are the branches the individual disciples to be in relationship with Jesus Christ and with one another, they have a specific purpose. I don't know if you've seen, an olive, a vine, where there's lots of intertwining going on. Along some of these stays, when the farmer in winter, it cuts it and prunes it, and then make sure that it's staked so that when spring comes, it can go along the trellises. So that then the vines, the branches off the vine can intertwine. They become stronger together. Helena, remember when she spoke a couple of months ago about trees and roots? And she was talking about sometimes some of these tree-lined streets and how the roots go deep down, but sometimes they go out. And because the roots go intertwining, it's very, very difficult to uproot those trees. And in relationships, God wants us to have such strong relationships too. And you see, this is why it's not just about a relationship with the Father, which is so, so important. That relationship then needs to be worked out in a true church with one another. That's why we want old, young. We want, every age group under the sun. I want every nationality under the sun in this church. Why? Because I believe that brings an expression of Christ in a fullness that, we won't get with just one group of people. And, I'm going to speak in at the end of October in a Korean church in the afternoon. And it is a Korean church. And I will go and bring the word of God as he leads me to do that week. But I genuinely want a church that is so cross-cultural, because I believe that that will express a dynamic that God wants us to have in a true church of Jesus Christ. Intertwining relationships where people don't naturally or wouldn't naturally meet, but within the church of God they meet and they are loved, they are supported, they're encouraged. But also, as we can see from this last statement, that every single person will find their purpose. God does not want Kingdom Faith London to be full of people. And obviously we're starting off small, but we're not going to remain small. But God doesn't want us to have people sitting on chairs. We want people to know what their purpose is, so that they can fulfill that purpose in Christ. So the gifts that God has given you, we want to see flourish and grow. We want to bring challenge sometimes into your life. Why? Because the word of God brings challenge. But it's because God loves you in that relationship. We love you. And we want to see the best that God wants for you. And the purpose that he has for your lives. I think this is great. When you understand what the true church is, this is an amazing understanding of what God says. Let's go on, because it will explain it a little bit more. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we talked about the vine. Obviously, in Scripture, it talks about the body. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. We understand the body, don't we? If you've done biology, you know how each part is so, so important to each other. We're important to each other. Our relationship with the Father is so crucial. Please, you're in the vine. But our body, the body of Christ, this is part of what he describes the true church to look like. Something where we're all pulling together. We're all moving in the same direction. We're all going along the path and journeying together corporately, seeing what God wants to see in London. Yes, you will have an individual journey within that. But those individual journeys, when we come together, seeing what God wants us to see with that strong relationship, remaining in the vine, being fruitful, loving one another, becoming that body. Okay, I'm a hand, I'm a foot, I'm the heart, I'm a head. Obviously, Jesus is the head. But you understand what I'm saying. Each part has a place. Because God has a purpose for your life. Each one of you, God has a purpose. And please, if there's a church of 10,000 down the road, fantastic. But God still has a purpose for every single one of those 10,000 people. God sort of hasn't sort of looked around and sort of said, oh, those 50 in that place, oh, I'll leave them. I won't give them a purpose. No, the purpose that God wants for each one of us is to make him known, to glorify the Father in what he asks us to do. But we have to understand that a true church of God, yes, we're a vine, and understanding that vine concept. We're a body of Christ, and understanding that God describes the church as a body. And that's why it's important that we are part of a body. It's not something that we can come and go in. You got to find, and please, you know, if some of you are looking for a church, you need to find where you belong. Because you cannot be part of a 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 bodies. You're part of a body. And that expression of the body of Christ, wherever that looks like, please, you can go and enjoy other bodies. Sometimes I go to Hillsong with my daughter because she likes Hillsong. But that's fine. And sometimes we went to an event with HTB a few months back. There's another event at O2 in a couple of weeks' time where we're thinking of going. Well, not. It's a guy called from South Africa. At Botoff, he's an evangelist, and he's seen some amazing things growing in South Africa, in Joburg and Pretoria. And, you know, it's not that you can't go and experience something from another body, but you're not part of that body. You need to be part of something that God wants you to belong to. And a true church is made up of people who know where they belong. Even if that means it's uncomfortable at times. And sometimes you may wish to be part of something else, but you know, because God's spoken to you, that no, this is the body that you belong to. And therefore, this is where we grow and we pull together and we begin to bring our muscles, because we're going to be doing some weights. We're going to be doing some exercises because we want to get stronger. Because a body that is weak, if it doesn't take food, it's weak. I don't want us to be a weak body. I want us to be a body full of health. Because that's what I believe God wants for a true church of Jesus Christ, to be a healthy body. What happens in a healthy body? It grows. Not that way. Breathe in, Jonathan. Breathe in quick, quick. But it is a healthy body. Why? Because it's part of what I believe a true church is. No part can function. Sorry, you see these things. No part can function either independently of the head or of the other members. Again, it comes back to that relationship with the Father. We cannot, as we read in John chapter 15, you cannot operate independently from the Father. Without him, there is no good thing. It's only through Jesus Christ and what he does in and through us, that's what's going to be fruit and life producing. But also, likewise, we need one another. We need one another. Because that's what a body is. If I was purely a hand and walking around in the hand, that concept of a hand just walking down the street, it just doesn't work. A body needs to be walking down the street. The body is the thing that expresses the fullness of life. And it's great to see the babies here, because for me, that's partly a sign of what God wants to ensure that is produced in this body here. Because that's life, it's growth. It's something that is being produced. And fruit is something that is being produced. And you know, just like the vine, if a vine doesn't have grapes, then you have to question what it's there for. And therefore, it's important that we understand these things. Next, please. From the moment of his or her new birth, didn't want to be sexist in that one. When he, she becomes a Christian, the believer is placed in Christ and in relationship with the other branches and members of Christ's body. Okay, so we're talking about the vine. We're talking about a body. Next, please. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5 says, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." So the third example, or for me, the true church needs to have a group of people who understand that they are a temple of the Holy Spirit as an individual, but corporately, that we are a habitation. We are a place where God comes amongst us and speaks to us, shares his life with us, so that we can actually see those spiritual sacrifices that we do day by day, because this is not just an act on Sunday. This is a day-to-day act that we need to be understanding, that we are part of a spiritual house. And as that spiritual house, it has an identity that God wants us as a true church to reflect. I think this is amazing what God does. And there's a statement coming up, which I love. Next, please. And not these. And the pile of stones or bricks does not make a church. But that's important as well. That we understand that these little things, a pile of stones or bricks does not make a church. If Antonio was here, we could actually ask him to explain what brickwork is. The pile of stones there that you've got to then add mortar and cement and you then build something. Whereas if it was a pile of stones, it's just a pile of stones. It's rubble. But even rubble, when it's in a foundation, can have a great effect, because you can then have a lot of weight and height can go on something even with rubble. But with brick and stones, they can make walls. They can make, I mean, these are cement. This is cement, but you can see that it's a where the connections have been made here. One on top of the other. Being built. You can see, can't you? You can see the lines where it's dried. The cement's dried. I don't know how they did that. Does anybody know? Okay. Brilliant. But you can see how they've done it in squares. And if you go to Jerusalem, it's amazing that, you know, in the temple, in the ruins on the Western Wall, you can see these big, huge stones that were moved into place by slaves, by the slaves at the time. But the way that they've being put into an order to enable a building to take place. God wants for his true church stones, bricks, to be put into an order, to be put into a shape, to put into a design that is going to therefore reflect who he is. Obviously, he is not talking about a pile of bricks because they don't make a church. You and me do. People make church. And it doesn't mean that you have to wait until 100 people to make church. You can make church with two people. God, me, and somebody else. That's all it starts with. Doesn't have to be 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 100, 200 people. You start making church with the people around you. Why? Because you're meant to reflect Christ in that relationship. You're meant to be displaying him. The individual stones have to be joined together in such a way as to fulfill God's desire to have a living temple able to fulfill his purpose. Next, please. Some of the questions that, you know, I think we'll answer over these next weeks. And it will be weeks. It won't be immediate because we'll unfold this. What kind of relationship should exist between Jesus Christ and the individuals in church? We probably know the answer to that. But we may know it, but are we doing it? And there's also, you know, in ensuring that there's an action here. We may know the answers to some of these things, but I just want to challenge us. Are we actually doing these things? I was watching a little bit something yesterday. And it was actually from Hillsong in Sydney. And there was an English gentleman who was just sharing a little bit of word. And he sort of said, you know, I don't want to just read what's in these pages. I want to see it. I want these words on here to become life for me. I don't want just to be a person who understands what it looks like to be a Christian. I want that life of Christ to really be demonstrated in everything that I say, everything that I do. I want it to become real. And that's what he was saying. And it may have been recorded a little while ago, but it was just so real for me. It's just like, yes, Lord, that's what I want. I want the reality of what I read to be here in September 2016, right here in the heart of London. And Derbyshire and Rochdale. I do. But you see, we understand some of this stuff because we've read, a lot of us here have read the Bible. But my challenge to myself and therefore to you, how much of what we're reading are we seeing? Where's the evidence of what we are believing in the word? That's a big challenge. Where's the evidence of what we're seeing? Where's the evidence of the healings? Where's the evidence of the new birth? And it's these things that I want to challenge myself on, but also understanding that if we're going to be the true church of Jesus Christ here in London, that I believe God wants us to be, then we need to be people who are expressing what we're reading in reality. So what kind of relationship should exist between Jesus Christ and the individuals, and therefore applying that to my own life? How are the members to relate to one another? That's you and me. How are we to be? That's something else that I believe God will unfold between myself and Helena over these coming weeks. What does that look like? Where your relationship with mine? I don't believe it's a church where I don't see people once every 3 weeks. I want to do life with you. That's why we can't wait until we're in London ourselves. So that we actually can begin to rub, you know, against you all the time. So I can be in your lives, you can be in our lives. You can pop into our house, we can pop into yours, or we can pop into Costa's or Pret's or Starbucks, whatever, because I want to do life with you. But what does that look like in reality? I can say those words, but I want the reality. What does that look like? How are we going to do this? If it's going to truly be the true church of Jesus Christ, how do we do this when London is so vast? God's got a plan. And these are the sort of things that I want us to start to, not play around with, but pray through. Okay, God, how do I do this? What's my part in this? Because you're not an island, as we've been reading. You're part of a church. Not a pile of stones, individual. You're being built together. And then what is the purpose of the body? Number three. So the church does not exist for the benefit. Next, please. Yes. I think this is a statement. I believe that encompasses so much what I believe that God's talking about the true church. Jesus sees his church as people in living personal relationship with him, number one, and with one another, number two, equipped to fulfill his purpose for them in the world, number three. Every believer is to be fruitful in fulfilling his or her part in that purpose, number four. And why do we do this? And by so doing, bring glory to the Father. Yeah. I like that statement. And I would love every one of you to write that down and pray that through. Because I believe that as you break that down, it reveals what a true church of God should look like, and what our part, yours and my part, and please, if this is in Derbyshire, if it's in Rochdale, Manchester, if that's where you are, then that's what, you can take photographs, that's great. This is the new technology, isn't it? Everyone, in my old days, it used to be writing it down, but in this day and age, it's taking a picture. I like that. But you understand that. It breaks it down into my own relationship with the Father, being part of the vine. It understands that I'm part of a body. It talks about me being a temple of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, as a temple, people can come in to my world and see what God then wants to do and demonstrate from that point. He wants us to be fulfilling his purpose for my life and our lives together. Why? Because Jesus Christ is to be glorified in every situation and circumstance. I think that's great. And I believe that that is something that God is going to unfold to all of us, including myself and Helena, over these coming weeks. Because I want us to be a true church of Christ in London. And I want us to reflect our relationship with him through our relationship with one another, being full of the Holy Spirit, understanding our purpose, each one of us, to be part of that body, so that we can then be effective and fruitful every single day of our lives, in our workplaces, in our streets, in our neighborhoods. Why? Because God wants to be glorified in what you and I say and do. It's not just about Sunday. God wants every single day of our lives to reflect him in all the positives, including my relationship with Helena. Next, please. Oh, you've not finished yet. Everybody's taking a photograph of it. Okay, we'll bring that back onto the screen. So the church does not exist for the benefit of its members. That's me and Helena and some of you guys. But to fulfill the purpose of the one whose body it is. It's good, isn't it? It is not a building, nor an institution, nor a religious system, because that's not what we want. But we do want a body of people who live in the understanding of who they are in Christ, and He therefore lives in them to express His life through them. These are the things that I believe the true church are. And, you know, it can unfold from here, but if we understand we're not here to exist for a nice little cozy little time that we have on a Sunday morning, but we're here to reveal Christ in a world that desperately needs to have Christ revealed to them. But we need one another. We need your gifts. We need your abilities. At the moment, we need you. Well, it's not at the moment. That's the wrong word of painting. But we need you to be who God wants you to be and in the place that God wants you to be. And that's why, as a church, you know, that we've been transitioning for 6-7 months until we had a new chapter 3 weeks ago. That we gave everybody who has been part of Kingdom Faith London an opportunity to just pray and see if they still belong to Kingdom Faith London. Why? Because I want this to be a reality. I want to see life in our relationship with Him, with one another, but then expressed in a dynamic that brings God glory in every single thing that we say and do. Could we please stand? Thank you, Father. One of the things that we always believe in Kingdom Faith, and that's whether it's here in Scarborough, in Taunton, in Horsham, Worthing, Crawley, is that it's always important that, you know, even if it's only 2 minutes, that we take time to respond to whatever God has highlighted through this last half an hour. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, it's your responsibility, because you hear something, it's now your responsibility to take hold of maybe that one thing or that two, three things and say, okay, God, work those things in me. But it's just good at an end of a message just to respond to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Father, I want to be part of a true church. You have to put your own words to that. It's like your own prayer. Sometimes it's like, Lord, establish that relationship that I have with you in a greater way. Father, I realize that my own relationship with you have been lukewarm. It's been hit and miss. If I feel like reading the word, I do. Sometimes I pray, sometimes I don't. But I understand that if I'm going to be part of a true church, then my relationship with you has to grow. And Lord, I just want to place myself in that situation. Father, Lord, where my own relationship with you grows and develops in the way that you want that to grow and develop. So work that in me. That may be your prayer. But use your own words.
Okay. Millie's got a picture here, which she's just going to briefly share about something God was speaking to her this week, which was really in line with that.
I had this vision of a man hovering over the ground and chest bent forward and head back and arms back. And I saw this light coming out of the chest and coming out of the mouth. And God spoke to me about the very first blessing. God blessed him and said, be fruitful and multiply. And what he was speaking to me was the breath of God inside of us. God calling forth that it's not our responsibility to be fruitful. That if we're just willing for God to call forth his own breath inside of us, his spirit inside of us, then he will activate that and he will call out his nature in us to be fruitful.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I've just got a word as well. I just felt God saying, just keep your eyes closed, everybody here, that there's maybe one or two people here who there's disappointments, there's hurts from church, from experience. And I just saw God drawing a line. It was like just a line in the sand behind you. And you're on the other side of that line. And I just saw that picture. And God saying, a line has been drawn over the past, and now you can move forward. So if you know that relates to you, then I believe God's saying just the disappointments, the hurts, maybe an experience of things that went wrong is behind you. And God's saying you can step forward and you can leave that behind you. And I pray, Father, right now for the grace to come on each person where that's applicable. That grace would come now to leave the past. I pray that in your grace there would be complete wholeness, complete healing. And if that's you, just receive that from the Lord. Just receive healing, wholeness, knowing that it's a new day. It's a new beginning. It's a new moving forward. And God's saying, actually, not one of us here knows what that looks like. We're all in the same boat. Because he has something that goes way beyond what we could ask, think, or imagine. It's way bigger. It's way greater. And he's saying, just take that step forward now. Because the line is drawn in the sand.
Respond in your own words to what he is saying. Just take a little moment for you to just do some personal stuff with the Lord. Know where you're at within all of these points that I've made, whether it's being part of a body or your part within that body. He sees your heart, because we can't fool him, wants to begin something fresh in you so that we have an understanding of what he wants his church to look like. This is not my opinions. This is not what I'm looking for. It's what he's looking for. And he wants to encourage every single one of us to begin again to look afresh in the word. Saying, okay, what does this church look like? What's the expression of this church life that you want to express? This is not just here in London. This is everywhere that you come from. What does the true church of Jesus Christ look like? What's his body look like? What does he want his body to look like? How does he want his body to act? All sorts of things. But Lord, I just pray that here at Kingdom Faith London, that we will be a people who express a true church in our relationship with you, with our relationship with one another, a relationship as a body together, with that breath of God, that spirit within us, each one of us who believes, that life, that breath of God to be breathed into each one of us, so that it's not I, but Christ. And so, Father, I just pray for each and every one of us here, that as we go through this week, Father, Lord, that our relationship with you will continue to grow and develop is in the way that you desire. But that expression of your life, your body, that we understand that we're not ourselves, we're expressing you. As a believer, we're expressing the body of Christ. And Lord, I know it's only by the grace of God being poured into our lives in fresh and new ways, that release of your spirit within us, that's going to enable us to be the people that you want us to be. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Okay, take a seat, everybody. Great word. Let's just show our appreciation to Pastor Jonathan. That word, great word. And interestingly, we haven't communicated specifically about this, but the Lord was saying exactly the same thing to me about in terms of where he wants to take us. Next week, so we're going to be looking at what our relationship looks like more fully as the body of Christ. We're going to go into more and more detail in that. And that's going to be exciting because that's going to enable the gifts and the purpose for you individually to come to the surface more. Amen.